Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company, and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Key to David's Suitcase, was written by Joseph Victor.
Helen Jenkins. I'm a social worker employed by a child welfare agency in a large American city. However, it's not about my work that I wish to tell you, but about a certain teacher and social worker in Israel where I visited last year. The teacher's name was Deborah, and I met her at one of the sessions on problems of disturbed children. When Deborah invited me to pay her a visit at the kibbutz Ramat Yohanan, where she was director of the school, I accepted with pleasure. I arrived at the kibbutz by bus after a ride through vineyards and orange groves, a countryside where every mile is a rediscovery of the biblical past. I saw Deborah hurry towards me.
Shalom, Helen. Oh, I'm so happy you could come, Helen. Did you have a good trip?
A little bumpy, but exciting.
Oh, I know. Our roads are not like yours in America. Come, we'll go to my office first, and then I'll take you around to see everything. Please come in, Helen. This is my office.
It looks very nice and modern.
It's only 2 years old. We do a great deal of building here, as you can see through that window.
Ah.
That structure over there is going to be an annex to our school.
How many pupils do you have, Deborah?
Let's see. There are 62. These are children of the members of the kibbutz. And recently, we have received some additions. 12 children from the Youth Aliyah. That's the Jewish Agency Youth Organization. Most of the children they sent us are orphans.
Orphans?
Yes, their parents perished during the war or in concentration camps. And the little children come to us with different traditions, different languages, different cultures.
Oh, that must be quite a problem for you.
A problem? My dear, here we are so used to problems that I don't know what we do without them.
Excuse me. I'll come back later.
Oh, that's all right, David. Come in. Yeah, you look excited. What's the trouble?
Oh, I've got wonderful news. They've accepted me to the Gar Hashara.
Oh, that's wonderful, David. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Excuse me, Helen. This is David Gershon, one of our counselors.
Hello, David.
And this is Miss Jenkins, David. David has just been accepted as a member of the new agricultural settlement. That's why all the excitement.
Oh.
You see, Helen, for David, it'll be a new life, new beginning.
Congratulations, David.
Thank you. Well, I had better be getting back to the kids.
Yes, I think you'd better.
It was a pleasure to have met you, Miss Jenkins.
Thank you, David. What a charming boy. So alert, so vital.
Yes, David is a charming boy, isn't he? But I assure you, the David you just saw is a far cry from the David that came to us 9 years ago.
Wasn't he born here in the kibbutz?
No, David was born in Prague. He's my special pride and joy. I should say the pride of the kibbutz. Because when he first came here, he was the most difficult, complicated, and disturbed child. He came to us with 15 other children, orphans like himself. Now, children, please come this way. Come on, and put your things down. Now, let's get acquainted. You've already met one of your counselors, Avram, and my name is Deborah. Now, this is going to be your new home, and I'll tell you all about it later. How we live here, about the garden, about the school.
And do you have cows and chickens?
Well, of course we have, darling, and pigeons, rabbits.
What's your name?
Lilka.
Oh, that's a lovely name. It says here on your card that you came from Warsaw. How old are you, Lilka?
I don't know.
She's 9. I'm her brother. I'm 11.
Well, I'm 13.
My name is Chaim Levy. I'm going to be 11.
My name is Sarah. I'm an orphan.
So what? I, too, am an orphan.
We're all orphans.
And what is your name, boy?
I don't have to tell you.
Well, don't listen to him. He's a mule.
I am not a mule.
He's got a suitcase, and you know he won't let anyone see what's in it?
I know what his name is.
Don't! Don't tell her.
I will so. It's David. He's 10 years old, and he was born in Prague. I know because
don't tell her, you fool, you! You tattletale! I'll kill you!
Now, David, stop that! David! David, you must have
told
her
all the time.
And please remember that for the future. And that was my first meeting with little David. While all the children were unpacking, washing themselves, and making themselves at home, David remained standing next to his little suitcase and just watched me. I walked over to him. Well, David, aren't you going to unpack? Here, give me your suitcase. I'll help
you. Don't touch my suitcase. It's mine. I know. You want to see what's inside, don't you?
I only want to help you, David. You're among friends now.
I have no friends. I don't need any friends.
Now, children, please stop that.
Shall I take them out for a little walk, Deborah?
An excellent idea, Alvin.
All right, children. Come with me.
Come on. All right.
Now, David, you too can go with them to see the kibbutz as soon as you open your suitcase and put your things away. Well?
I told you I don't want to open my suitcase.
But, David, why not? Your things, your clothes, your...
Because. Want... I told you I'm not going to open it. I am not. I want it closed. Look, I have the key and no one else can open it.
All right, David. If you'd rather have it locked, you can have it locked. Here we don't force anybody. You trust me, don't you?
No, I don't trust you. Only fools trust other people. I know. You want my things. Everybody does.
No, David, I don't want your things. But you do need a clean shirt. I'll be back to fetch your clothes and take them to the laundry. And please don't worry. I'll sew your name on every piece you give me. That night when I came into the room, David was already asleep. But his arms were tightly clutching the suitcase which he kept under the blanket. I stood there wondering what pitiful possessions that poor child might have inside the suitcase to make him feel so strongly about it. A few days later, there was a counselor's meeting at which I made it very clear that in the case of David, we were dealing with a problem child, a very disturbed child. And I'm afraid that his revolt against any authority, his distrust and his outbursts of violence against the other children will take a long time to overcome. We must try to create an atmosphere of trustful relationship with the entire staff. And most of all, we must have patience with David.
Well, what does it say in his records?
Well, not too much. All we know about David is that he's an orphan who was saved from the Nazis by a Czech family.
Well, does he still hold on to that suitcase of his?
I tried to persuade him to open it, but it's hopeless at present.
Do you have any idea what's in the suitcase?
No. For the present, I've decided to ignore it. Perhaps with time he will come...
I'm afraid that's your little David rebelling again.
He's not only my little David. He's our little David. I'll go see what happened. David! David, stop that! Why are you breaking the laundry window?
She won't give me my Sabbath clothes, that's why. I hate you. I hate all of you. You're all against
me. Now, David, no one is against you. Look at yourself. You haven't washed your face in 3 days.
I don't have to wash my face if I don't want to. And no one is going to tell me what to do. It's my face. It's my body, and I can do with it whatever I want.
But, David, you don't want your body to be dirty. It's not healthy. Now, what if the other children decided that they don't want you in the dormitory because you're unclean?
I'll sleep in the fields. In the chicken coop, anywhere. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything or anyone.
Well, in that case, since you're not afraid, won't you come along with me?
What for? Why should I?
To wash your face. Well, I thought you weren't afraid of anything or anybody. I'll tell you what, David. You come to my room, and if you'll wash your face, I'll let you work in the garden, water the flowers. Come, David. There, that's better. Now look at yourself in the mirror. Why, you look entirely different. Now, if you just let me comb your hair.
No, I'll comb it myself.
As you wish. Here's the comb. David, I see you've refused to make your bed in the last few days.
Why? Because.
Now, you know that's no answer. Because.
Because I'm not like the other kids. They're like sheep. They do what everybody tells them to do. They're all stupid. Besides, I want to keep my suitcase under the blanket so no one will open it.
Now, David, you know your suitcase is locked and you're the only one who has the key to it. Why are you smiling?
The way I look in the mirror. Clean, like all the other kids. You know something?
Yes, David.
You're nice.
Well, thank you, David. You're nice, too, if you try. And, oh, David, how I wish you would try. It'll make you much happier. You'll be able to get along with the other children.
Your eyes.
My eyes. What about them?
They're black. Like my mother's eyes.
And tell me, David, do you remember your mother's eyes?
Can I go water the flowers now? You promised.
Of course, David, you can go. Yes, David? Did you want to say something?
No.
I thought I'd gained a minor victory. But that same afternoon, in a fit of anger, or perhaps frustration, David tore up the flowers, the very same ones he loved to water. Everybody was angry with him, but he didn't care. I felt that if I knew more about his past, about his background, I might be able to breach the wall which he had created around him. But I knew that it would take time.
Aren't you coming with us on the hike, David?
No, I don't like hikes, and I don't like you.
You're funny.
I didn't ask you.
The way you sit there alone with your suitcase, as if you had something in it.
Go away. Leave me alone. I'm thinking.
I bet I know what you're thinking about, Smarty.
Yes, what?
I don't have to tell you.
Yes, you do have to tell me. I have all my power now. I can shoot you.
Let me go. You're hurting me.
I'm not afraid of anybody. You can't scare me. I know you're all against me, all of you.
Let go
of
me.
I'm going to kill you.
Time passed, but David did not improve. Instead, he provoked the other children into fights, began to destroy things, and his aggression against everything and everybody became quite unbearable. At our staff meetings, I constantly had to defend him, to protect him. I must confess that privately, I was full of misgivings. I knew that I was confronted with a deep fixation of some sort, and that perhaps my sympathy alone was not enough to help David. I decided to reveal my thoughts to my best friends, the children themselves. I called them together at a special class meeting and confided my troubled thoughts to them. Of course, David was not present.
But how can we make friends with David when he doesn't even talk to us?
How do you expect him to talk to us if he knows we don't like him?
Maybe it's up to us to try again and show him that we do want to be his friend.
Well, I don't want to be his friend. He'll only start a fight like he always does.
But listen, children, if we don't try to help him, There's only one thing that can be done, and that is send him away from here. Maybe to a foster home.
Maybe he should be transferred to another kibbutz.
Is that what you want me to do? Well?
No. Why should we send David away from here when this is his home, the same as ours?
She's right. I don't mind trying to be friends with David. Even though he hit me when I tried to stop him from marking up the wall of the dining room with all that chalk.
I'll play with him, too. If only I knew he wouldn't try to hit me.
The trouble is that we've forgiven him so many times, he thinks we're afraid of him.
Oh, just the same, we have to show him that we love him, even though he's bad. We have to make him study and work, just like us.
You know, I think we tease him too much about that suitcase of his. We should stop laughing at him. Maybe if we gave him things, a present or something.
Let's buy him a flute to play.
Don't pretend you're so friendly to him. After the meeting, you'll act differently.
No, I won't. I swear I won't.
I suggest that we elect three out of the class who'll help David with his homework.
Well, I'll help.
Please, children, now wait. First, let's have some order. I don't know how to tell you this. All I can say is that I'm grateful to you. I'm sure if we all try, we can do a lot to help David.
Wait, what if David refuses to accept our gift?
If someone gave me two pigeons, I wouldn't refuse.
Shh! Here he comes. Who's going to give him the pigeons?
We all will.
Yes, what do you want?
We don't want anything, David.
You're lying. I can see you're up to something. I'm not afraid of you.
You see, he's already starting up with us.
Keep quiet, Sarah. David, we want to talk to you like friends.
Tell him. David, we have a present for you.
A present? For me?
Yes, for you, David. Look, give him the pigeons. They're yours.
They're mine?
Mm-hmm.
They're small, aren't they? It must be some trick you're up to, I'm sure.
It's no trick, David. It's a present from the whole class because we all want to be friends with you.
How do I know you aren't just pretending? To make me open my suitcase and show you what's in it.
We don't care what's in your suitcase, David, as long as you try to learn things and as long as you try to be one of us.
And as long as you don't hit us.
That's why you're giving me the pigeons?
Don't listen to her, David. We had a meeting of the whole class, and we decided that we were wrong.
Oh, so you had a meeting, and you talked about me behind my back.
But only nice things, David. I swear it.
We want to be friends.
That's right, David.
We want to be friends.
All right. I, too, want to be friends. What if Deborah won't let me keep the pigeons?
Why shouldn't she?
Because I don't know how to take care of them.
We'll show you how. It's easy. But first you must build a little house for them. Come on, let's all go to the carpentry shop.
I'm a good carpenter. I'll help you.
Come in. Oh, it's you, David. What a lovely little pigeon house you have there, David. Do you make it yourself?
No, Nahum helped me.
Do you know how to take care of pigeons?
They showed me how.
Taking care of living creatures is a responsibility, David. You must treat them with kindness. Will you promise me that you will be gentle with them?
Yes. And what about two rabbits?
Rabbits? Why, David, you must first learn how to take care of pigeons. Then we'll see about the rabbits.
In the meantime, can I build a cage for the rabbits?
All right.
You...
Yes, David?
You were good to me. You never get angry with me, even if I do bad things.
Well, you see, David, I know that when you behave badly, it's not that you're really bad. It's because you're not always happy. Perhaps sometime, when you feel like it, you can come in here and we can have a long chat about things.
About what things?
Oh, about anything you'd like to talk about.
I don't like to talk. It's not good.
Not even to friends who love you?
Mr. Parak and Mrs. Parak. They also said they loved me.
Oh? You never mentioned them, David. Who are they?
They took care of me in Prague. They put me in a room and kept me there so the Nazis wouldn't find me.
And?
But the Nazis came and took me with them. And Mr. Pollock didn't say anything to stop them. That's why I don't like to have friends. I don't trust anybody. And that's why I keep my suitcase locked, so no one will know what's inside. They all would like to know. Wouldn't you like to know what's inside my suitcase?
No, David. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No. But I would like to know how to make you happy, David. And I would like to know why you do some of the things in class. For instance, the other day I noticed that while the other children were doing their arithmetic, you were making little drawings in your notebook.
Would you like to see a drawing I made?
Yes, David, I would.
You promise not to laugh at me?
I promise.
Here, look at it.
Why, this is a very nice drawing, David. Who is it?
Can't you recognize it? It's you.
Oh, why, of course it is me.
Would you like me to give it to you?
Yes, David. I would love to have it. Thank you, David. Thank you.
What's the matter? Why are you sad? You're crying.
David, sometimes people cry not because they're sad, but because they're happy. And you have just made me very, very happy. After this conversation, and mainly thanks to the atmosphere of love and sympathy with which David's classmates surrounded him, David's whole attitude to his environment changed. He attended classes regularly, began to do his homework, he took care of his appearance, and even though his suitcase remained locked, the same as before, it seemed that David was finally one of us. But I knew and I felt that the process was far from being finished. That there was something much deeper at the root of David's disturbance. Somehow I knew that the crisis was still to come, but I didn't know how or where or when. And then one day while the children were in their classrooms... Now, Joshua, you tell us which city is the capital of France.
Paris.
That's correct. And the capital of the United States. Can you tell me, David?
Washington.
And do you know who it was named after? Well... What's the matter, David? Are you feeling all right?
The key. It's not in my pocket.
The key?
The key to my suitcase. They stole it. They stole it. Give it back to me. Who stole it?
So what's in your pocket?
I didn't even know you had it.
I know.
No,
no,
now, David, you mustn't accuse anyone.
No, but don't.
Where are you going, David? David, wait. Come back, David.
I said leave her alone.
She opened my suitcase. She
now
opened
you stop
my suitcase.
It this minute. You're choking her. Let go of her,
she
David.
She opened my suitcase.
Are you all right, Nina?
I found the key on his bed.
Oh, but Nina, why did you do it? Why did you?
She opened my suitcase.
Well, now that's enough, children. Everybody return to their classroom. You two come here. Now, David, please stop crying. Come on now. We'll put everything back in the suitcase just as it was, and you'll lock it again. Oh, what a nice photograph, David. Who is it, David? Well, David, won't you tell me whose photograph this is?
That's my mother and my father.
Oh? And the child on your mother's lap? Is that you, David? When you were a baby?
Yes. When I was a little baby. Before my mother and father were killed.
Yes, David?
I was there when it happened. When they came in
The Nazis. First they shot my father, and then my mother. I saw them shoot my father and my mother. I saw them.
Come, David. Shall we put everything back into the suitcase?
No. I don't want to keep the suitcase locked anymore. I want to leave it open.
Would you like me to get a nice frame for the photograph?
No. I want to make the frame myself. I'll put the picture of my mother and father in it, and I'll hang it right over my bed, like all the other children do. Yes, that's where I'll keep it. Right there, over my bed.
Next day, I saw David in the garden. He was busy planting some rose bushes. When he saw me coming, he smiled and blushed. Hello, David.
Hello.
What are you doing?
I'm planting rose bushes. Three rose bushes.
Three?
Yes. One bush for my father, one for my mother.
And the third one?
The third one is for you.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Eternal Light Drama today, The Key to David's Suitcase, was written by Joseph Victor and was based on material supplied by Hadassah. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Margaret Draper, Sandy Fussell, Mary Ann Goodson, Lynn Loring, Jack Grimes, Joy Dillingham, Madeline Pierce, and Bill Iden. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Walt Ergot. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.